You're listening to the Fan-Damn-Tastic Marketing Show with your host, Mac Collier, author of Think Like a Rockstar, founder of Blog Chat, and diehard Bama football fan. From advocacy and branding to building fans and creating a social business, Mac covers it all. Want to be part of the show? Share your thoughts at hashtag FanDamnShow on Twitter.
Hey, y'all, welcome to the sixth episode of the Fan-Damn-Tastic Marketing Show. I'm your host, Mac Collier. Thank you so much for listening. Today, I want to talk about your fans and how you can connect with them in a way that makes them comfortable and NASCAR driver Dale Earnhardt Jr. Trust me, it's going to come together in the end. Now, as Carrie mentioned in the opener, I am a big Alabama football fan and really a big college football fan in general. The problem with being a college football fan is that the season is so short. It typically runs from early September to early January. So that's like 8 months out of the year that is you don't have college football. So this used to drive me crazy because for the rest of the year, I need something else, another sport to be interested in that I could follow. And I've never been a big baseball fan, never been a big basketball fan. So what else is there? A few years ago, I decided that, you know what, maybe I should start getting into NASCAR and start following NASCAR because the NASCAR season pretty much perfectly overlaps with the college football season. College football ends right about the time that NASCAR starts up and NASCAR is winding down just about the same time that the college football season starts. So it's perfect. So started getting into NASCAR and I figured, well, I need to have a favorite driver that I can follow and keep up with. So I decided to start following Dale Earnhardt Jr. Like the fact that his dad is driven and he seemed like a really nice guy, humble, down to earth, didn't have a big ego. And he was fairly successful, not the most successful driver, but he did okay. In 2008, I really started watching NASCAR, and about that same time, Dale went with a new racing team, and this racing team, Hendrick Motorsports, was thought to be the best team in the sport. So when he went over to Hendrick, this was a really big deal in NASCAR because you're basically taking NASCAR's most popular driver, and now you're sticking him on what's considered to be the best racing team. So a lot of people were really interested to see what would happen. Would Dale just suddenly start winning a lot of races and take over NASCAR? What would it look like in the sport of NASCAR if NASCAR's most popular driver was suddenly winning big? Well, Dale didn't start winning big. He only won one race in 2008. I don't think he won any in 2009. Ended up making a crew chief change in 2010, went with a new crew chief, and didn't do much better in 2010 either. And around this time, I remember hearing one of the commentators make a statement, something to the effect of, it's sometimes difficult for a crew chief to work with Dale because he doesn't always give the crew chief the best information about the car. He doesn't always give the crew chief as much information as he could, or he's not always comfortable communicating with his crew chief. And as an introvert, when I heard that, that kind of struck a chord with me because, and Dale is an introvert as well, but when I heard the commentator talking about how Dale doesn't always feel comfortable communicating as much information as he should or could to the crew chief, as an introvert, I heard that as a sign of, well, Dale's just not comfortable working with this crew chief. Or maybe his team. Maybe that's not it. Because as an introvert, I know that if you're working with a team and you're not comfortable working with that team, you don't always communicate as effectively as you could or as you should. So I thought that was interesting. And then in 2010, the season, as I said, it wasn't going that great. So they ended up making another crew chief change. They brought in Steve Letarte in 2011. And in 2011, did marginally better. And then in 2012, got a little bit better. Last year, did a little bit better. And toward the end of the year, did really, really good. So this improvement had been steady when Steve was brought on as the crew chief. And then this year, Dale's having a career year. He's already won three races. He's on par. He's on track to have his best season ever, and he's solidly in contention for the championship. And what's really interesting is that throughout the season, they've been talking to Dale, and they've been talking to him, well, why are you suddenly having such a great season? It's because your previous seasons have been okay and been getting gradually better, but this year is kind of taking it up to a different notch. And he always says that the success is based off of him being comfortable with his team, being comfortable with his crew chief. And again, he keeps using this word comfortable. I'm comfortable. I'm comfortable. I'm comfortable. And that's why we're winning. That's why we're driving. And that's why we're racing so well. And again, going back to this idea of introverts and working with a small team, and if you're comfortable with that small team, that makes you more effective, more efficient, whatever you want to call it. If you relate this back to working with your fans, because when you are a company, and a lot of companies, when they're interested in this idea of, well, we want to do a brand ambassador program, or we want to do something similar, some type of organized effort where we're communicating and connecting with our most passionate customers. A big reason why most companies want to do this is because they're enticed by the idea of empowering their biggest fans to become salespeople for the brand. Basically, how can we empower them to sell more stuff for us? Because they're out there, they're connecting with customers every day. So how can we capitalize on those connections and help them sell more stuff for us? Well, that's fine. And a lot of fans do enjoy talking to other customers about their favorite brands, etc. But you also need to consider the type of person that you're trying to ask to go out there and talk to other customers, especially in terms of, are they extroverted or are they introverted? Because if you're going to an introvert, for example, and you're asking them, we want you to go out and we want you to talk to other customers when you live your day-to-day life, when you go to the grocery store, whatever, that's something that can make a lot of introverts uncomfortable, because we don't typically, introverts, we don't like going up to strangers, even if we're going up to strangers to talk about a product that we love. That can make us a bit uncomfortable. So you need to think about that. And you need to think about, what type of fan are we talking to? Is this person possibly an introvert? And if they are, what happens if we ask them to do something that they're uncomfortable doing? It's not going to reflect well on us. It's not going to reflect well when they try to sell our product to other customers, especially if they're not comfortable doing so. That's going to reflect negatively on our brand. So you need to think about, if you're asking your fans to do something, how can we make sure that whatever it is we're asking them to do, that they're comfortable doing that? And how can we put them in a situation where they are more comfortable? For example, if you're dealing with an introvert and you're asking them to sell for you, keep in mind that a lot of introverts, and I'm raising my hand as I'm saying this, are much more comfortable talking, communicating, connecting with strangers online versus offline. Because I tell everyone, I'm an online extrovert, offline introvert. And it's really true. And I've talked to a lot of other introverts about this, and so many of them tell me the exact same thing. It's simply easier for most introverts to communicate with people, especially people we don't know, in an offline setting in an online setting versus trying to do that offline. So if that's the case, you need to think about giving the fans you're wanting to connect with other people, give them options, such as, don't just ask them to do it in an offline setting. Because if that's the case, then your introverts probably aren't going to do as well with that as your extroverts will. So give them options. Maybe say, well, you can do it online or offline. So that way, that's being respectful of the people you're trying to connect with and the people you're asking to connect with other customers on your behalf. So again, think about that. And again, it's always about putting yourself in the shoes of your customers, especially if you're wanting to connect with your fans and you're asking your fans to do something as big as connecting with other customers, even if that's something that they want to do on your behalf, you still need to think about, how can we make them more comfortable when they're doing that? So just wanted to talk about that for a few minutes because, again, Dale's comments kind of triggered that, kind of got my mind circling around this difference between how introverts can be comfortable communicating in a certain way versus extroverts, etc. So I wanted to talk about that today. So that's the end of this episode. Thank you so much for listening. I really do appreciate it. And if you have any feedback for me, please do let me know what you think about the show because I really do appreciate your insights. You can either email me at mac.collier@gmail.com or leave a tweet with the hashtag FanDamShow, FANDAMNSHOW. And I'll be happy to look at your comments and maybe work them into a future episode as well. I'd love to do that. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great week.
You've been listening to the FanDamTastic Marketing Show with Mac Collier. Do it again soon.